Okay, we're continuing our study through the book of Revelation. We're in the Revelation Bible Study, section 38K, on page 38 of the Bible study outline, the detailed outline, which can be found on firmfoundationri.com. Okay, we're picking up in Revelation chapter 16, verse 15, which reads, "Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." Now, these words are in red letters, which means these are the words of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the risen and glorified Son of God. Of course, he said something very similar when he was here on earth with his disciples in Matthew chapter 24, verses 43 and 44. "But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." And again, in Luke chapter 12, verse 39, "But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into." So the exhortation here is to watch. Of course, this book of Revelation is written not only for the people who are going to be alive at that time, but this is part of the New Testament canon of Scripture. So all of these things have value to the church as well. "So blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." And we've got some cross-references right here in the book of Revelation in the section dealing with the things which are, which deals with the seven churches of Revelation. And in Revelation chapter 3 in verse 3, to the church at Sardis, we read, "Remember therefore how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you." And moving down to verse 11, to the church at Philadelphia, we read, "Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown." Continuing to verse 18 in the same chapter in Revelation chapter 3, to the church at Laodicea, we read, "I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich," and here it is, "and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see." So these garments that cover us cover our spiritual nakedness. You see, the fig leaves didn't quite cut it. They didn't cut it for Adam and Eve. They're not going to cut it for us spiritually as well. We need the salvation, which comes only from believing upon the Lord Jesus Christ in his work and promises. Okay, Revelation chapter 16, verse 16, we covered last time along with verse 13. So we're going to pick up in Revelation chapter 16, verse 17, and we'll read it straight to the end of the chapter and then make a few comments. "And then the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, 'It is done.' And there were noises and thunderings and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such a mighty and great earthquake as had not occurred since men were on the earth. Now the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And then every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And great hail from heaven fell upon men. Each hailstone was about the weight of a talent. Men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, since that plague was exceedingly great." So here we read of noises and thunderings and lightnings, and our Lord referred to this back in the Olivet Discourse when he was teaching his disciples about some of the signs that would take place as he return for the second time. For as the lightning, this is Matthew 24:27. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. So this earthquake here is also said to be a great earthquake in verse 18. And this great earthquake is even greater than that of the sixth seal judgment in Revelation chapter 6 and verse 12, where we read, I looked and he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood. So all of these things, all of these judgments are intensifying as we continue in that downward spiritual spiral of the earth till the end comes. We read of Babylon, and great Babylon was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. So Babylon, the seat of Antichrist's power, is destroyed. And we're going to be getting into that into a good bit of detail when we get to Revelation chapter 18. We also read that the islands fled away, the mountains were not found. So the topography of the earth will be changed by the earthquake. Sort of some preliminary work, maybe, that God is doing to get things ready for the final battle in the institution of his millennial kingdom reign on earth. We read that the hailstones that were coming down were the weight of a talent. You know how much a talent weighs? 100 pounds. Can you imagine a hailstone? 100 pounds? I mean, if we get one that's a couple of ounces, that stings. But 100-pound hailstones. So these are like boulders coming down from the sky. And again, this is something that is of greater intensity than anything that had ever been seen before. Now, this plague of the hail was not something that was unusual in God's judgmental economy. In Exodus chapter 9, we had the plague of the hail. In verse 23, back in Egypt, and Moses stretched out his rod through toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and fire darted to the ground, and the Lord rained hail on the land of Egypt. So there was hail, and fire mingled with the hail, so very heavy that there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. Well, it was heavy, but you can bet it wasn't a talent. Otherwise, there'd have been none of those people left. I can tell you that. Very, very few and far between. And the hail struck throughout the whole land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast. And the hail struck every herb of the field and broke every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, there was no hail. So again, as we had said before, these bold judgments don't touch believers. They touch only the unbelievers. And we've covered that the last couple of segments here in this study. Now we've come to section 39 in our outline, on page 39 of your outline. Revelation chapter 17, verses 1 through 6, which deals with the Scarlet Woman. So in Revelation chapter 17 and verse 1 we read, then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked with me, saying to me, come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters. So these seven angels are the same seven angels that we find in Revelation chapter 15 verse 1, seven angels having the seven last plagues, and Revelation chapter 16 verse 1, the seven angels who pour the bowls of the wrath of God on the earth. So these are the same seven angels in Revelation 15:1, 16:1, and 17:1. Now we read here of the great harlot. And a harlot in the scriptures denotes spiritual adultery. The harlot, of course, always associated with unlawful, unclean, immoral relations, and in particular adulterous relations. But here, the great harlot, spiritual adultery. And we look to Jeremiah to be informed in this. We go to compare the scripture with the scripture, and we go to Jeremiah chapter 3 verses 1 through 6. Jeremiah chapter 3 verses 1 through 6. And they say, if a man divorces his wife and she goes from him and becomes another man's, may he return to her again? Would not that land be greatly polluted? But you have played the harlot with many lovers. Yet return to me, says the Lord. There's that call back. The children of Israel had committed spiritual adultery, and yet, even though God was in the midst of judging his people, he's always calling them back, calling them back. It's always God's desire that folks come to repentance. Lift up your eyes to the desolate heights and see, where have you not lain with men? By the road you have sat for them like an Arabian in the wilderness, and you polluted the land with your harlotries and your wickedness. Therefore the showers have been withheld. You see, because of the spiritual adultery, there have been judgments, natural judgments. And if this is true in Jeremiah's day, how much more so in the days of Jacob's trouble and the great tribulation? And there's been no latter rain. You've had a harlot's forehead. You refuse to be ashamed. Will you not from this time cry to me? My father, you are the guide of my youth. Will he remain angry forever? Will he keep it to the end? Behold, you have spoken and done evil things as you were able. And the Lord said also to me in the days of Josiah the king, have you seen what backsliding Israel has done? She has gone up on every high mountain and under every green tree, and there played the harlot. And what happened in the days of Josiah the king? Right, Israel had a revival. So all of these judgments related to the spiritual adultery were followed by revival. Well, this is the same thing. The end of the world is going to come with a downward spiral. But even in the midst of this, beginning with the two witnesses and the 144,000 Jewish evangelists who witnessing the gospel, and this great soul harvest, there was a revival even in the midst of all of that. And ultimately, we're going to come to the millennial kingdom where all Israel will be saved. That is the remnant of Israel, those who had not committed spiritual adultery. Revelation chapter 7, one more thing here. Okay, many waters. The great harlot sits on many waters. And again, we're going to let Scripture interpret Scripture. So what do the many waters represent? Well, we go to Revelation chapter 17 and verse 15, and we read, then he said to me, the waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. So the many waters are all nations. So this great harlot, this spiritual adultery, has consumed all of the nations by this time in human history. Revelation chapter 17 and verse 2 reads, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So here we have the intoxication of religion. Remember the great harlot sitting on many waters. And remember we read that passage in Jeremiah, and the people were committing harlotry under every green tree and in every place. So here, the intoxication of religion, that is a sensual brand of false religion, is characteristic of what's going on here. So that religion that especially embraces pride and or sensuality is that which people want, isn't it? Don't we even see that today where people are looking for a religion or even a brand of Christianity that fits them, you know, trying to remake God and into their own likeness and come to the Jesus of their own understanding, and thereby missing the God and the Jesus, the Savior of the Bible. And this harlotry is with the kings of the earth. So there's going to be a union of church and state, just as it was in the Dark Ages when the Holy Roman Empire and the Roman Catholic Church had their unholy alliance, and the witness of the Word of God was set aside. It was squelched, and it wasn't widely available or known to the common people. People were kept in the dark. That's why we call it the Dark Ages. It was also like that to some degree in the post-Reformation Lutheran Church. There was some element of that where this sort of overtook the the Reformation, which went a little bit further, of folks like John Calvin. The Lutheran Church simply attempted to reform the Church, but the Calvinists sought to bring it back, and the fundamentalists sought to bring it back to its glory days in the days of Acts.